A couple of days ago, I just came back from the trip to visit two missionaries in Geneva. It was delightful to visit them, and also we were really amazed by the beauty and grandeur of God's masterpieces, the mountains, rivers, and the lakes. And another thing that caught my attention was smell. The smell of the mountain and the lake. So good. And in Paris, we didn't have to, but we got up really early because we wanted to have freshly baked bread. Oh, yes. So nice. And I could smell so many places. A lot of people, because there were so many people in some places. And I learned why French people hold a restroom toilet. It was not a pleasant, I mean, not a part of a pleasant trip, but a strong image of Paris. Smell. Then let me ask you, have you thought about the smell of Jesus? We often talk about we are to be like Jesus, to love one another like Jesus, and do the ministry like Jesus. Then, what about the smell? I'm just wondering about that. Smell like Jesus. A few years ago, I heard about a company. They make perfume somewhere in California. They said their product provide the scent of Jesus. And they call that perfume virtue. And they claim, if you wear the perfume, you will smell like Jesus. Using the Bible as a guide to what kind of plants were used as a perfume when Jesus walked in the Holy Land, some scientists at the company, they claim that virtue was a close approximation of what Christ and his followers might have smelled like. So it was a sweet blend of consisting mostly of Africa and a dash of frankincense and myrrh, which of course were given to Jesus, baby Jesus. So now you can go Google and purchase it, which makes you smell like Jesus. I don't know. Obviously, that is an absurd idea. But it does lead us to a profound thought that in any way, we want to be like Jesus. And it also leads us to think of what we are called to be and to do on our faith journey. At first, it is all about God's love. God loves you and me. And it is not the end. It has to go further. So when we have children's sermon, we sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. Yes, I would just want to repeat that. Jesus loves me, this I know. It's so good. And I invite you to sing with me, Jesus loves you, this I know. So a couple of years ago, in my previous church, I changed the church Wi-Fi password because it was something like that. 123XYZ 345ABC, something like that. Nobody remembers that. So I changed that to Jesus loves you. Then one of the church leaders, she was a little bit curious and asked me with a smile, Pastor, I thought Jesus loves me. So I said, yes, Jesus loves you. You see what I'm saying? Jesus loves you. So we are not just staying at the level of saying Jesus loves me. We need to go up. Jesus loves you. And that is biblical. As John 3:16 says, God so loved the world. That means God so loved the world and all the people, you and me. And God wants us to know God loves us and all the people. And God wants us to extend our love toward the people in our words, action, and deed. And God wants us to be like Jesus. Just like Apostle Paul urges the people in the city of Philippi. What Apostle Paul says is, we are to live our lives imitating Jesus Christ in his humility. This message, it is not only an individual lesson, but also it is for the community of faith as a church. Apostle Paul is encouraging the church in the Philippi, the city of Philippi, to live in harmony with humility, following the example of Jesus Christ. And humility is one of the key legacies we have from Jesus Christ, not just for one and one individual, but also in our community and the world. Humility, that is the one which makes us one church in Christ. With humility, we become like Jesus. We can love one another like Jesus and live our lives like Jesus. So Paul says, have the same love. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interest only, but each of you to the interests of the others. Yes, this message is still valid to us. Not only to our individual life, but also to our church, Sterling Wesley United Methodist Church. And this scripture characterizes a healthy church. We humble ourselves, and we love, and we serve one another. We are living in a country of abundance. We have more than enough. In our country, we have more than enough to help and live on. But still, we want to be successful. We want to be famous. We want to have more. We want to have a better product. And we are working really hard to have a better life with abundance. And I'm not saying that's all the time bad. And Jesus mentions a good use of money. And Apostle Paul mentioned that, believe me, John Wesley, he talked a lot about time, so many times about money. But the problem with the money is we want to have more and more and more, and we compare. Let me tell you about my story. So now I have a new one, but here is my old one. I used that for 4.5 years until it's dead. It is a Galaxy 6, S6. It has a big screen, 2560 by 1440 pixels and 5.1 inches fantastic screen with a fancy design. And it has 3 gigabytes RAM and 64 gigabytes memories. It has so fast CPU inside, octa-core, 2.1 gigahertz, cool. And the thing is, I don't know what those means. But 2 years ago, I really wanted to buy a new one. Why? Because it was not working, not functioning well? No, not at all. It was still working fine, like a small laptop. But I felt like it was old. I wanted to have more, another one, because other new products have been released and my friend has it. And a friend of mine, he is a huge fan of iPhone product. And 2 years ago at the time, we were serving the same committee and we met almost every month. And whenever we met, he talked about his cell phone, iPhone, because he knew I was not a big fan of iPhone, because he wanted to say his cell phone was better than mine. And I told you just 1 minute ago, I felt like mine was really old, but I found myself talking to him, mine is better. Mine is better. Why? Because we compare, and we want to say that mine is better than yours. How about you? Some of you may compare your clothes. Some of you may compare your car. Some of you may compare your house. What about the job? What about your children? Deep inside of our mind, we may be driven by our instinct to compare and our desire to look better than others. Compare and pride. Who knows? Some of us, or I, might compare my faith in God or the way I believe which is right to the others. Pride and compare. Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the people in the city of Philippi. It was not a big city. Rome, Corinth, Ephesus, those are the big mega cities. But Philippi was not. It was a really tiny one. However, geographically, Philippi was very critical in Apostle Paul's time. It connects three provinces, the major province in our language, three major states in Roman Empire, Macedonia, Thrace, and Asia. Asia is not the same one we have in our time. So Philippi connects all three large provinces. So if you want to go to somewhere in another province, you have to go through Philippi. And according to Josephus, one of the most famous historians in the first century, there were many good schools and hospitals in the city of Philippi. Particularly, it was very well known for good medical school. And a lot of people in the city, they were Roman citizens with their slaves, and they had big pride. To those people in Philippi, Apostle Paul says, my friend, I know you guys are smart. I know you guys are rich. Many of you have power, but you know what? We have to be humble in order to be like Jesus. Jesus humbled himself and even died for us on the cross. It is like Paul saying, we are not supposed to think we are better than others. That is not what Jesus said. Hey, buddy, we have to be humble before God and our people around us. And this lesson to be humble is still valid in our time to each one of us and to the church. And a healthy church is the one where people look out for one another with humility, which we learn from Jesus Christ. And I believe Apostle Paul urges not only the people in the city of Philippi, but also each one of us. He's saying, have the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. And he continues to say, in humility, value others. It's really tough, I think, sometimes. Value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each one of you to the interest of the others. Today, it is the Reformation Sunday. 502 years ago, that movement started. Sitting before the Reformation wall in Geneva, I kept thinking about the Reformation. We are all Protestant Christian. We are the heir of the Reformation movement. It was a movement of repentance And repentance doesn't mean a feeling of guilt. It means going back to the right path. Change the direction toward God. And I kept asking, what was it? What was it for? God used the reformers to lead the repentance movement and ask the churches to go back to the right path. What was it? What were they missing? And one of the answers to the question was that the church at the time was missing humility in their work, ministry, and faith. They thought they were perfect with all the system and the rule in their faith. And they thought they could judge others and make rules for their needs. And they put themselves in God's position, in their faith, life, and church. And it tells a lot. It tells a lot to us, particularly today, the Reformation Sunday. We, the church, ought to be willing to lay down its life in order to fulfill its mission with humility. Humility doesn't mean to say, I'm not qualified, I'm not worthy, I don't know what to do. It means, yes, I know my limit, but I know what God can do. And I'm willing to do true love, the agape love, with no expectation for paying back. The example of Jesus, and to serve others more. To live like Jesus, it is to love and serve one another and lay down our lives for others in this broken world. That's the way we may bring, by the power of God, bring love and make a change one by one. And we are called to join in this life-saving and life-giving ministry on our faith journey to become like Jesus. And humility, the humility that Jesus taught us by the example, that makes us one in Christ. And I want to ask you this week, let's find a way, small and big. Let's find a way to be more like Jesus, look like Jesus, and smell like Jesus. Amen.